Oh, that's right. Right here, Sharp Facets Gallery this afternoon. And I am here with Judge Travis Moore. He is over probate court. And we just decided it'd be time to find out what's going on. We've got some interesting topics to talk about. One we're going to talk about a little later in the show, but I want you to make sure you know about it, is the new handgun legislation that came through. No, we're not going to talk about it first. Okay, Travis, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Ann. How are you?
Very good, very good. I tell you what, there's a probate court. I think a lot of people don't understand it until you actually have to use it, right?
That is a very fair assessment. And, you know, it is the only court that people are guaranteed to use. Because they will come through our doors at one point or another if they stay a Greenwood County resident.
Okay. Because?
Because we handle all the deaths, the estates. So the family members normally will come through to handle the estates.
Sure. And I remember when you were running for probate court, you know, one of the things that you were concerned about was the difficulty that it is for somebody to access and go through the court system and everything. And I believe you wanted to work out a system to make it a little easier for people to approach that.
Well, that's true. Like, for instance, the clerk of court's office, which handles the deeds and mortgages, you can actually look that information up from the comfort of your home. It's online. Mm-hmm. It's public information. So the public should have the right to get it. The files at Greenwood County Probate Court have not been made available online. You could come up to the courthouse and request a specific file, mm-hmm. and you could look at the file and make copies, and we'd be glad to do that. But it's not been available online. And so what I've looked into doing is getting Greenwood County into the 21st century and putting everything online so it would be accessible from home computers. And we are about there. It's taken a while to get the servers upgraded, to get the technology in place. And we've actually got everything ready to go. It just needs a flip of the switch and for the county to review a contract that we have. And hopefully that will be running soon.
So when somebody has to go through probate court, will they physically have to come to probate court then?
Maybe for some documents. For the most documents, such as just looking at the will or the petition or the inventory, you could get those items online. And I think we would be the third or fourth county to join this system in South Carolina.
In South Carolina?
Yes.
Well, that's pretty advanced then, isn't it, Travis?
Oh, well, I like to think so. It's advanced for Greenwood. Exactly. You know, I'm just glad that it's getting to that point.
Sure. So those are some of the interesting things. Now, but that's not all that probate court handles. That's a big part of what it handles. But what else do you handle?
As you said, we do handle estates. So when someone passes away, we make sure that certain beneficiaries get what they're supposed to get. Mm-hmm. If they don't have a will, we make sure the family members that are in line to get the estate can get the proper estate, and we oversee that. And that's a very administrative side of our court. We also handle mental illness. If you know of a loved one, a family member, a friend who is going through a tough time and you suspect a mental illness, we can go through the process and have a hearing and determine whether they are mentally ill. Same thing with chemical dependency. Those two things take up a lot of my time. Now that Self-Regional does not have a behavioral health unit,
sure.
If a Greenwood resident needs inpatient hospitalization, they're normally sent to either Anderson,
Patrick
Greenville,
Harris, yeah.
Yeah, Patrick Harris, or Columbia. And I normally try to visit the patient at the hospital. So I like to see all the Greenwood patients. So hypothetically, Ann, if you were to go into the hospital, I would be glad to go and visit you in Anderson or Greenville. And that really helps out to get to know the person, get to know the family. And so that takes up a lot of my time. And we do the chemical dependency. If you suspect a loved one has some chemical dependency issue, whether it be meth, prescription drugs,
sure.
alcohol, we can actually have a hearing with the psychiatrist and someone from Cornerstone and do an assessment as to whether they should receive involuntary hospitalization.
Now, when you go for involuntary hospitalization, who actually pays for that?
Well, I don't know because I've never been on that side of it.
Okay.
But they normally work that out with the family, and I know they do tell families, don't worry about that now, we'll worry about that later.
Right.
Because that question has come up in the hearings, and
sure.
the people at Cornerstone says, don't worry about that, you need help, let's get you in and work out the payment details.
Sure. Well, I just wondered, since we don't have really well, I guess Patrick Harris is actually a state facility, isn't
it? That's correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
But we don't have as many facilities, and that's one of the big problems in our state, or actually across the country, is what we do for those that need mental help as well as the drug dependency.
Sure. And I went to a seminar down in Charleston. It's a psychiatry conference, and that's one of my favorite conferences to attend because the Department of Mental Health is instrumental in that. They have actual doctors from MUSC talk to us about the mental illness issues, and I've really enjoyed learning a lot about that topic. I remember someone made the comment that jails are now the biggest mental hospitals.
Yeah.
Because there are people with mental illness that go and
commit
petty crimes, just stealing a Coca-Cola or a candy bar,
mm-hmm.
and they'll spend 30 days in jail because they don't have the $200 to pay the fine.
Sure.
And so our jails are getting full of people that really need treatment.
Well, I think it's really, we used to have Bull Street down there. They closed that down, and then you're right, there really wasn't a place for people that need help. And, you know, this goes back to, heads right into the gun issue and all other issues that we're dealing with in today's world.
Sure. And one of the problems, along with chemical dependency, if I declare someone chemically dependent and they need to go to an inpatient program, which is only a 28-day program
mm-hmm.
at Morris Village in Columbia, they have to wait for a bed to open up before they can even go to an inpatient facility.
So what do they do in the meantime?
That's you read my mind, Ann. For a 3-5 week period, the family has to watch over this person, make sure they don't get any more alcohol or drugs or commit any crimes. And it's we do send them to Cornerstone, which is here in Greenwood,
sure.
and hope they show up. And then if they don't show up, then I would have the contempt powers that they disobeyed my order, and we can lock them up. I would prefer that not happen.
Sure.
But we can lock them up in the county detention facility until a bed becomes available, if necessary. And, of course, that's pretty rare, but that does happen.
Sure. And, of course, since the hospital doesn't have its facility there anymore, that does make for a problem. The only place they really can go is to Patrick Harris.
That's correct. And once again, they have to wait for a bed to open up. So what they do is they wait in their emergency room of the hospital.
Yeah.
And
that's not satisfactory for either party, for the hospital or for the person.
It's a complex puzzle with a lot of different pieces.
Absolutely. Well, we are here with Travis Moore. We are going to actually judge Travis Moore. We are going to hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be back. If you've got a question, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery, 4:17 in the afternoon. We have Judge Travis Moore. He is, of course, the probate judge over probate court right here in Greenwood, dealing with a lot of different issues. And, you know, I noticed here on your list of items to what goes on at probate court, it says cremation disputes. Now, can you explain that one to me? How do you dispute cremation?
Well, that was one of those topics that until I got into office, I wasn't aware that the probate judge was the one that settled disputes amongst family members who couldn't decide whether grandmama or granddaddy should be cremated.
Okay.
For instance, someone dies and a son tells the funeral home, he told me he wanted to be cremated. But then you've got a sister waiting in the wings that says, no, I don't think daddy should be cremated because I have a religious objection to that. And so it's one-to-one. One sibling says, cremate him. The other one says, not. And so it normally would fall into my lap to settle such a dispute. And
so how do you settle that kind of dispute there,
well,
Travis?
There new legislation passed last year, which kind of gives a hierarchy, your order of priority. First, the spouse. And if there is no spouse, then the children. And then it's the majority of the children. But there, before that statute came into being, I've at one point had seven kids sitting around my desk telling me about what they thought about cremation for their mother. Everyone, I gave them each a chance to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, after they all spoke, I just asked one question. I said, now who's paying this bill? And the guy on the end raised his hand, and I said, okay, well, I think that that's who can make the decision. And that made sense to me, and I think they accepted that decision. And I've also done majority rule. One time it was 6-1. Six siblings thought that, you know, mama should be cremated, and the other one didn't think mama should be cremated. And so I was like, okay, guys, it's 6-1. You know, and so I make that decision. But luckily, since this new legislation came through, those cases have been far and few between. But if there's people of equal priority that still can't decide, it will still come into my lap.
Do you ever feel like the dad?
yeah,
the one that has to make the decision amongst people that you would think could make that decision, right?
Yeah, sometimes that is the way it feels. You just have to tell everybody to get along.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we've got cremation. Of course, I guess if you get your marriage license, that's where you go.
You come up to us, and we see everybody who's going to live happily ever after in Greenwood County.
Do you see divorces, too?
We do not see divorces, but we do have a lot of people coming up asking if they can get out of it and get their license back. And we have to ask questions like, no, you actually went through the ceremony. You can go across the hall to divorce court. But we do see some interesting cases with a marriage license. And that's always fun to see everybody come in at that happy point in their lives.
Sure. Have you ever had somebody get a marriage license and then bring it back and say, we won't need it?
We have had that. You know, in South Carolina, there's a 24-hour waiting period. You can come apply, but you can't pick it up for 24 hours.
Okay.
And so many times they do not come back to pick it up. And so it does not have an expiration date, so I guess it's still ready and waiting whenever they decide they're ready.
Okay. All right. So interesting type stuff on that. Now, you also have to deal with guardianships and conservatorships. What exactly does all that mean, Travis?
That's another big area of our court that a lot of people will unfortunately have to face. If everybody has the power of attorney appointing somebody to handle their affairs, their mm-hmm. durable general power of attorney with health care provisions, they won't need a guardianship or conservatorship. But so often we see elderly people who begin getting dementia, can't balance their checkbook, forgetting their doctor's appointments, can't take care of themselves. And so a family member has to come in and says, hey, you know, my grandmother is forgetting everything. She's not taking her medicine. She's not going to the doctor. And I need to be appointed as her guardian to take her to all these appointments and make sure she gets her daily needs. And a lot of times you'll need that to even check them into a nursing home or an mm-hmm. assisted living facility. So families come to us and say, we need help. And we have a hearing. We notify the family. Most of the time there's a consent, but you know, everybody's human and every family has difficulty. So some families don't always agree that the person who applied should be the guardian. And we hear those cases, and sometimes they're sad cases. And that's a guardianship. A conservatorship is over an individual's money. If someone is wasting their assets, if they're gambling it away, if they're giving it to the somebody on TV who's asking for money, they're wasting all of their assets, then a family member or a friend can petition the court to say, hey, I want to step in, have control of their finances to make sure they don't squander their money away. And a lot of times people don't like to give up that control.
Sure.
And so it's an emotional hearing. And a lot of times the people don't feel they need someone to look after their checkbook.
Do you ever have cases where, have you ever questioned the sincerity of the conservator, the person that wants to be conservator? I mean, how do you even make that decision where you feel good about turning somebody's finances over to somebody else?
Sometimes it's evident when you have a family member taking advantage of someone, and that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Mama's getting a Social Security check, and the son who's never held a job is living there with her, making these poor decisions with her assets. Sometimes they will be the one to apply to be guardian over that person and conservator because, of course, they want control of
the
money.
Sure, exactly.
The other family members do come in. There are some safeguards. We do appoint a guardian ad litem to investigate the entire situation, to interview the family, the person petitioning, and also the family members. We have a visitor who goes, talks to the alleged incapacitated person, mm-hmm. and they can make a recommendation to me. And there will also be doctor's reports. You have to have two doctor's reports to say that you are mentally able to handle your affairs. So we do get the guardian ad litem report, the visitor report, and the doctor's reports. And most of the time, those red flags will come out in that deep investigation.
Sure. So how much court time do you actually spend in the court, Travis?
With my court, as I said earlier, a lot of it is administrative. Mm-hmm. Tuesdays and Wednesdays, I'm normally going somewhere for mental illness hearings, and that's either Anderson, Greenville, or Columbia. Other than that, we normally have at least a hearing or two a day, and it may be a 5 or 10 minute hearing, or then again, it may be a half day hearing.
Sure.
But we do not have a backlog in the court. The staff that we have up there is absolutely fantastic. And I give Frank Addy and Curtis Clark credit because a lot of those were carryovers from their terms. And they are very, very good. They keep everything running. We did add a new person recently in the guardianship conservatorship area, Caroline Nave. And she's done a great job picking up there. But very proud of the staff.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's very hard to do anything if you don't have a good staff working with you.
That's true.
So that's great. The only thing I guess I would say is when you flip that switch, is everything going to work like it's supposed to for all those records?
Probably not. But the good thing is the switch will be flipped and we can make whatever adjustments we need to.
Sure.
So it's kind of like passing a law that may work and it may not, and you just have to tweak it once it gets in place.
Exactly. So estates, guardianship, conservatorships. Now, what about, what is it called when somebody is over somebody's health issues?
The health care power of attorney?
Right, power of attorney.
Right.
Do you handle those too?
Well, we don't really handle those.
Okay.
We do provide a form one if people want to come get one. We encourage everyone to go to a lawyer and get it. You can get forms online, mm-hmm. and it may or may not be legal in the state of South Carolina. You don't know what kind of form you're getting.
Sure.
And online it may say valid in all 50 states, but that really doesn't mean that it's valid in all 50 states.
Sure.
We encourage everyone to go to a lawyer to get these documents, to get a will, to get a power of attorney.
Do you need a will?
Of course you need a will.
Well, why do you need a will?
Because you want to control your money. You worked hard your entire life.
Well, if I don't have much of nothing, do I need a will?
Sure.
Sure?
Because if you don't have a will, the state has one for you in the probate code. So it will determine who
gets... Does the state then take it all?
No.
That would be my next question.
It would go to your nearest relatives.
Okay.
And so the state does have one. But I think most people work hard for their assets. They work hard their entire lives, and they would have control as to where they would want that money to go.
Sure.
And it kind of gives the family direction, because if you don't have one, it leaves your family in a bind as to how to do things. It makes it a lot easier for everybody involved if your wishes are known.
Don't you think, one of the ones that we always get into with families is the jewelry?
Yes.
And I imagine in probate court, you've seen some pretty nasty things where Mama wanted me to have this ring, and it's not spelled out in the will anywhere, and another child is standing there going, no, she wanted me to have that ring. Those are some of the difficult issues that you can avoid if you do have a will.
Luckily, we have not seen too many of those, but that can be addressed in a will. And there's a provision that most lawyers put in, and it's a memorandum that will allow you to amend it whenever you want to amend it without coming back to the lawyer. You can make a list of items. I want my daughter to have my locket. I want my son to have my handgun. I want my daughter to have this photo album.
Sure.
And you can sign it and date it, put it on the will, and it's considered valid.
Yeah.
And then if they make you mad, you can tear it up and start over again without going to a lawyer. So most wills that lawyers draft will have that provision in there to let people make those decisions.
Absolutely. You know, that's a very interesting point, isn't it, Travis, that, you know, just because you get into the will with somebody today doesn't mean you'll be there when they actually are gone.
That's right. And most good wills will have an alternate. It'll have somebody listed in the event this person does not survive me.
Sure.
And then a lot of times we get into disputes, is this a valid will? Is this really their signature? Is this their last will? Because I know they went to attorney so-and-so and did another will. And we get into those disputes, too.
Has to be interesting stuff.
Oh, it is. And, you know, people will sign their wills in hospice while they're on morphine drip. Did they know what they were signing? Did they know what they owned?
Right.
Did somebody hold their hand and sign their signature? Who witnessed it? And so you get a lot of different interesting cases.
Absolutely. Well, we are here with Judge Travis Moore. He is the probate court judge, and he's over probate court. So many different issues with probate court, from estate, guardianships, conservatorships, involuntary commitments, marriage license, and cremation disputes. And if you are, of course, going through that estate process, you know it's difficult, but one that you have to go through. Hey, I tell you what, it's time for South Carolina News and a word from our sponsors. Don't you go away.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Hey, we're back here at Sharp Facets Gallery. I'm Ann Eller right here on WCRS 1450 AM. Hey, don't forget, you can always tune us in on the stream at WCRS1450AM.net. We have with us today Judge Travis Moore. There will be a podcast on our website and a video on YouTube. So, you know, we got all this going on right here. And Travis, you were just telling me that your job, you found it to be very enjoyable.
Oh, yeah, I've really enjoyed it. Whenever you seek a position, you always hope it's going to be as good as you want it to be.
Sure.
And that you may or may not like it, but I've really enjoyed it, and it's great having a job that you look forward to coming to every day, because you get something different every day.
Well, I was going to say, I'll bet it's never the same 2 days in a row.
Oh, there's no two cases alike.
Absolutely. Yes. So, you know, some of the things that have to be interesting that that happen along the way, I imagine that somebody that somebody wants to have committed for drug abuse or alcohol, this type of thing, I'll bet they're not too happy when you say, I think that's where you need to go.
No, a lot of times they're angry. They're angry at the person who filed the petition.
Right.
They're angry at me as the judge that tells them they need to get help. They're mad at the psychiatrist and everybody at the table.
Sure.
But, you know, I tell them all, I say, we're not a punishing type of court. We're a court to help you.
Right.
And the decisions we make are to help better you and improve your life. But there's nothing that I, as the probate judge, or your mother who filed the petition, there's nothing we can do to help change you. It's all up to you. And all we're doing is giving you tools to use to get better.
Sure.
You know, I had some man point his finger in my face. He said, there's nothing you can do to make me stop smoking marijuana. And I said, you're exactly right. There's not.
Right.
But I tell them that they have the power, the ball's in their court, and I'm going to be pulling for them. And we see success stories. You know, it's gratifying to run into these individuals out in public, and they thank you. And you see that they're, you know, we had a girl in the office today who was getting a marriage license.
Mm-hmm.
She came through about a year ago on chemical dependency, and we ordered her for involuntary treatment. She's been sober ever since. She now has a little girl. She was in the office today, and she came in and wanted to see me, and she thanked me for everything we did.
And she was picking up a marriage license.
Yes, yeah, so, you know, I hope that everything's working out for her.
Sure. Well, getting help is what is definitely needed for so many people, but it's still got to be difficult to be the person that lowers the hammer and says, yeah.
It's really hard because it's normally a son or a daughter, and you don't, a lot of people enable their children and give them a couch to sleep on and don't charge them rent and they don't have to get a job. We see a lot of that. But it is sad and it's an emotional time.
Sure.
But it is for the best interest of the person you're trying to help.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. I'm just saying it has to be has to be tough to be in that position and to see what people actually end up doing to themselves. And once they start down that road, they may not even see it.
You're exactly right. And so, but it's very rewarding to see the success stories. A lot of times you see the same people over and over, and they fall. You know, you pick them back up and dust them off and encourage them to get more help, and they fall down. But you know, you form relationships with these people. You get to know them and their families, and, you know, they can call you. You know, my job, I'm on the clock 24/7 all the time, and I'll get phone calls on the weekend from someone who knows I've known their daughter or whatever, and they need to get help.
Sure.
And so maybe I can't help them, but I can point them in the right direction.
Sure. So that's one part of it. But then the other thing we were talking when we were just sitting here was the internet will.
Yes.
I mean, you made the comment that it is much better to go to an attorney rather than to just download something off the internet. Well, don't you know anything that comes off the internet, Travis, is good to go?
Yeah. That reminds me of the episode of The Office where Michael Scott said, he said, I've got this information from Wikipedia. And the wonderful thing about Wikipedia is that anybody in the world can add anything to it. So therefore, you know you're getting backyard information.
Exactly.
But, you know, as a lawyer, I was involved in will disputes. I would either represent one side of the family or another. And the only will disputes that I was involved with were from wills from the internet. And as I was telling you off the air, when you go to an attorney to do a will, they draft it. And they add the language that South Carolina requires. You also have an additional protection that if anybody comes back to question the will, the attorneys in town that can come and be a witness to say, no, I spoke with Joe Blow. They did do this will. This was their last wishes. We got it notarized. We got the right number of witnesses. So you do have that degree of protection.
Sure.
Off the internet, the will that you download may be valid in 15 states. It may not meet South Carolina requirements. You just don't know what you're getting.
Sure.
So a lot of times I'll get the question when I speak at public events or to groups, they'll say, I got a will off the internet. Is it valid? And my response is always, maybe.
Maybe.
It might be valid.
I think people worry about the idea if they did a will and then they wanted to change it. But what you were saying today with the addendums, you can just change the back page.
And
literally.
That's for personal property.
Personal property.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so you normally don't have to run back to a lawyer every time you want to change the will. And you'll find out that most of the time lawyers' charges are not as high as people think they are, and it's really not much higher than the wills you can get on the internet. You know, one of the will disputes that I litigated as an attorney, you know, somebody paid $85 for a will on the internet, and they could have gone to an attorney and done it for $100.
And you've got so much more protection.
Right, exactly. So it's worth the extra money, and it's not near as much difference as people think it is.
Absolutely. Well, that's good to know, because what is the reputation of lawyers? They're charging us an arm and a leg, and you know, we've got to save money any way we can. So you're saying pick up the phone and call your lawyer.
Yeah, and we're very fortunate in Greenwood to have a very good bar. We have a lot of good lawyers here in town that get along. A lot of towns I see the lawyers don't get along. There's a lot of animosity, but we have some very good lawyers here in town. And I think we should be proud of them.
Absolutely. Well, that's good to know. Endorsement from Judge Travis Moore right here for our legal system. That's great. So, Travis, you know, you wanted to bring up this new law that's actually going to be, has been signed into law, will be effective, what did you say, August 1st?
August 1st of this year.
Tell us what this law is.
This is the new handgun legislation that really came through the legislature very quick. It was proposed from the delegation down in Charleston after an incident down there where a mentally ill woman purchased a handgun. Mm-hmm. She was not in the database, and
right.
She purchased a handgun and went into Ashley Hall, which is a private school down there, pulled the trigger, and the gun jammed or had some issue with it, and it would have been another Sandy Hook. But because the gun jammed, it saved everybody.
Sure.
So they realize that in South Carolina, as it is right now, mentally ill people can get a concealed weapons permit and purchase a firearm because mentally ill people are not entered into the database for the FBI. So all this law does is make sure that mentally ill people, or mentally defective people, it's called,
okay,
are entered into the FBI database through SLED.
So what does this mean, though, retroactively to people that maybe are mentally ill or have been found? Now, you have to be found mentally ill.
That's
it's
correct.
Not just, oh, this person's mentally ill, right?
A court has to adjudicate you mentally ill, and it may be a criminal court where you have been deemed unable to stand trial because of insanity.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a mental illness litigation. It could be chemical dependency if it's affects your mind.
Sure.
You spoke about retroactively. In this bill, they want us, probate court, to go through all of our records and turn in the past 10 years worth of records at a minimum. So we're going to have to go through all of our files, and we have 1 year to do this. I guess it'll be August 1st, 2014, where we have to turn into the system 10 years worth of anyone who's been declared mentally ill. But keep in mind that it's also chemical dependency and also guardianship and conservatorship, because a lot of times that is mentally defective because of a mental condition such as dementia. So we'll have to go through each one to find the diagnostic information to see if there is a mental illness which would prevent someone from owning a handgun.
That's pretty interesting to be in that position and be an elected official, isn't it?
Yes, it causes the probate court some concern because we don't know the practical aspect of these. Now, keep in mind that this is probably only going to affect 2 or 3% of the population, maybe 5% of the population. And of that percentage, they might not even own handguns. So most people aren't going to see any change. But it will affect some people. It may affect someone who likes to hunt, who has been sober for 8 years, but 8 years ago had to go through the chemical dependency system.
Sure.
They'll be getting a note from SLED saying, turn in your firearm. But the good news in this legislation is that they can petition the court to get the firearm back. They would petition probate court and attach a copy of the order that they're no longer under court order, a copy from their psychiatrist or Department of Mental Health saying that they have not been a patient there. And then it would be up to us whether we will allow the firearm to be returned back to them. So that process, we don't know how many of those we're going to get.
Right.
We don't know the practical aspect, and we might not get any. But it is kind of causes everybody, I would imagine, as a judge and as a citizen, some concern.
Well, this sounds almost like, you know, we have our Second Amendment rights.
Sure.
And so I wonder if there will be challenges to that, Travis.
Well, actually, the NRA, it is my understanding the NRA supported this legislation.
Okay.
This is actually the Brady Bill back from the 1980s, named after James Brady, who attempted to assassinate President Reagan. This is the Brady Bill that we've enacted here in South Carolina, and we are the 39th state to come on board. So we're actually behind the curve. We had some people say this is a knee-jerk reaction to Sandy Hook, but really it's not. It may be a knee-jerk reaction to what happened in Charleston, but this legislation has been in other states for quite some time. But since it's not here, we kind of wonder how it's going to go.
Exactly. We'll be interested to see how this works out. Hey, I'm Ann Eller. I'm here with Judge Travis Moore. We'll be right back. Don't you go away. If you have a question, pick up that phone. Give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of... This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime. From Mother Earth with love, a diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood, 229-6276. Oh, that's right. I'm Ann Eller here with Judge Travis Moore, looking at this new law that will take effect August 1st of this year. What are they looking at doing? Well, people that have been deemed mentally deficient or mentally, what's the proper
term? Defective.
Mentally defective. People might say that about me, Travis.
Well, you haven't been adjudicated by a court that I know of.
So no, I haven't.
And I think it would be important to realize this is just involuntary people. Now, like if you have a mental condition or seeking help and voluntarily check yourself in, this does not apply to you. Or if you have an alcohol problem or a drug problem and seek help, this law does not apply to you. This is just people who have been involuntarily committed. And so that's an important distinction.
Absolutely. That's actually a huge distinction.
Right. So, you know, if you think you're going to fall victim to this, the best thing is to go seek help, to go seek help at Cornerstone or Beckman Mental Health and voluntarily get treatment. And then this... you're not
they can't
profit.
Really turn your they right. Well, what's supposed to happen there then that your name would not be turned in.
That's correct. That's and the intent of this law is to keep mentally ill people from going and purchasing a handgun. And as we were discussing, this is not going to stop people from getting guns. They can still get guns on the black market, and we'll always be able to get guns.
Or get them from home.
Right.
You know,
but by the same token, we don't want people we know who are schizophrenic, bipolar, or any other serious mental issue to be able to walk up and get a gun, in which, as it is right now, they can.
Yeah.
And so the intent is just to keep them from purchasing a handgun. It's not to affect the citizens or even people with a condition who have not had any problems recently. You know, I think that's the intent of the legislation.
But in this law, they can go back 10 years. Or that's
yes.
as far back as you're supposed to go as far as turning the records in.
It says a minimum. If we have records back for 15 years, then we have to go back 15 years.
Wow.
So a lot of people will receive notices from SLED that your name has been added to the federal NICS database, and you have 10 days to turn in your firearms and ammunition.
To turn in your properly registered gun, which you have owned, you now have to
Correct.
Turn it in. Yes.
And they can appeal it to, I think there's a time frame they can appeal it to probate court, and they can say, look, yes, back in 2002, I was involuntarily committed, but I have a job. I'm no longer under court order. My physician says that I'm okay. I've been a hunter for 5 years with no problems. Then they can get the gun back.
Sure.
It's just going to have to, and we're going to try to have those hearings very fast because we don't want to deny anybody the right if they certainly
sure.
have the right to possess one.
Absolutely. Well, that's some of the new things that are out there. And, of course, the budget is being finished up down there in Columbia. Now, as far as being a judge and the budget and everything that you work within, do you find that it is sufficient? I know at one point you were talking about you would have liked to have added another assistant.
Well, right now we're funded at a good level in the county. We're one person short as it is.
Mm-hmm.
We need to hire someone, and we're waiting to see how the state budget shakes out before
sure.
we hire someone.
Exactly.
So I think there's a $20 million that was taken away from the local governments that I've heard as of yesterday was put back in.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully that will allow our staff to get back to running to full capacity.
And what exactly type of person do you need?
It's an administrative assistant to answer the telephones and to answer the doors because of security at the courthouse. An individual can come up there and call on the telephone, but a member of our staff has to get up and let the person in.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a buzzer. So really right now we're bare bones, so we will need another person. But as far as a budget, we run our office probably one of the more efficient offices in county government. We only have like $18,000, and that's for training, seminars, office supplies, printers, copiers.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's our yearly budget. And when you look at it as a percentage of the overall county budget, and I don't know what that is,
sure.
we're very, very minuscule. We do bring in money because we have estate fees and we collect filing fees. But, you know, I leave that to them because we are not an income generating office. That's
sure.
not what we set out to do.
Exactly. So. Well, any other interesting issues you think that we should cover here today? It's always fascinating, but sometimes you don't know all the things that actually go on.
Sure. I mean, probate court is really, and as you said to begin with, you don't know what it consists of until you walk in there.
Exactly.
And people are scared. They're going through a traumatic time. It's a nervous time.
Sure.
And so, you know, our goal as a staff is to comfort people, to say, look, you can do this. You know, we'll walk you through this and make it as painless as possible. And that's what we try to do. We probably could spend an hour on each individual topic because they are pretty detailed. But, you know, I think we've done a good job kind of touching on everything.
Sure, exactly. And that's what this was about. But how about, have you got an interesting story you can share with us? One that, I know you just were getting an email there about the judge at one place had recused himself. Now you're going to have to handle that case. But
sure.
an interesting story or two just to go towards the top of the hour.
Oh, well, it's funny you mention that because as I was coming over here, I've been having some sinus issues, so I need to drink a lot of water so I can speak. I don't
right.
know if you can hear it in my voice, but I stopped to get this big jug of water, and there was a horse parked outside the gas station. And it was actually, you know, I was familiar with the person because I had required them to go seek some treatment.
Sure.
They didn't have a ride, and they rode their horse to treatment every day. And it looks like the person was doing good. They were thriving, but they must have been telling me the truth that they were going to ride their horse to treatment, because they were, in fact, riding their horse to the gas station.
And at the time when you were making that decision, you were going, yeah, right, right?
Exactly.
In your mind, you were saying that, right?
Many times you have people saying, I don't have a ride to the whatever facility it is. I don't have a ride. And that's an excuse for the most part. But I was kind of pleased when I came over here that, yes, people do indeed save money on gas by riding horses.
And exactly.
I think that's a great thing.
That is great. That is great.
I don't know if that's the kind of story you were looking
well,
for.
Well, no, but I just think there's human interest sure. stories in everything. Sure. I think that, you know, being a personal representative for an estate is a tough job.
It is a tough job, and it's a fiduciary obligation you have to the other members of the family and beneficiaries in the will. So, you know, it's a duty that can't be taken lightly, because you're in charge of dispersing everything. But thankful to my office and the great ladies that are there, they can make it somewhat painless.
Well, I know sometimes people bring the jewelry over after somebody is gone, and they have to have a value to be able to divide it up amongst the family, or to decide to sell it and then divide the money. That is the one thing you can always divide, isn't it, Travis? You can divide money. You may not be able to divide things, but you can divide money.
You can divide money, but unfortunately, when someone passes away, the family thinks that their house and jewelry are worth a lot more than they actually are a lot of times.
Exactly, that's true.
And so, you know, we do run into the valuation problem.
And what do you have to do if somebody, you need to sell a house, and of course the market on housing has been so low?
You can petition the court, and I'll have a hearing and determine if it's a fair price. And if it's not in the will that the personal representative has the power to sell, then you got to get the judge's permission.
Oh, okay. So really nothing can happen until this, you have gone to probate. Now, one of the other things I asked you off the air was, does it really take a year?
It does. You have to leave an estate open for a minimum of 8 months so creditors can file any claims, such as hospital stays, credit card bills, mortgage companies. They've got the right to look at the death records and file a claim against the estate to pay any bills, funeral bills.
So that's why it really takes a year.
That's right. It takes 8 months. And by the time you do the paperwork and notify everyone that needs to be notified, you're looking at a year most of the time.
Absolutely. Well, Judge Travis Moore, it's been a pleasure having you here today. Thanks so much for coming out.
It's been great. Thanks for having me.
All right. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody. Be back in the morning, 8 o'clock, 9:35 tomorrow. Congressman Trey Gowdy is going to be on the air with us. Certainly hope you'll be tuned in for that. That's going to do it for me. Bye-bye, everybody.